for that song. And I know it's a different Father's Day for many of us that are here, but I was thinking this morning, early this morning, I'm so thankful for my father. And he stood in the gap for our family. And I'm so thankful for his example and legacy that he gave to my family. It's just, it's a blessing I will cherish forever. And I'm missing, but at the same time, he's with the Lord. And he's gone before us, and I'm looking forward to joining him someday. This morning, I want you to go back to Ezekiel chapter 22. And I prayed about what the Lord wanted me to do for our fathers today. And I honestly want to be an encouragement. I honestly do. And at the same time, I want to be a help. I want to give what God wants us to have today. And you know, it's sad to me because I've heard, you know, just recently about a pastor that was caught plagiarizing his sermons for a year and a half, and he just takes them off the internet and from somebody else and preaches them word for word, and even using those stories but putting his name in it, not even true. And I'm like, that's sad. And you know that, and I can't just give you a message. I mean, I could, but I want it to be God's message directly from God to my heart, from my heart to your heart. And that's my desire this morning. So I want you to understand that. My desire is to help the men here, the fathers here, and to be an encouragement, because, you know, we've been in Connect studying about the invisible war, and the spiritual warfare going on today is intense with every family today. Every family, especially godly families, Christian families, there's such a vicious attack being made upon our homes, our families. And it's unlike any other. I know Satan's been around since the beginning, but I mean, it's getting very intense. He's so relentless in attacking godly families. He wants to destroy and hurt godly families. He wants to hurt the heart of our Father by hurting his children. And so knowing that, fathers, we have such a huge responsibility in this battle. And I don't know if you remember, but in our Mother's Day message 5 weeks ago, we talked about how every mother is either a homemaker or a homebreaker. You're either a homemaker or a homebreaker. And I talked about how you need to be proud to carry that title, homemaker. Even if you're working a full-time job, that's not the point. The point is, every mother is very important to every family, to building up her house, building up her family. Every mother is important. And we talked about how a wise mother builds her home with a strong foundation, with building blocks, and with strong cement. And we talked about those things. And so a mother is so important. But today we're going to focus on fathers. Fathers that need to be men that stand in the gap for their families. As I said, every home has enemies that threaten that home. Every home. Fathers must lead to protect their families from destruction. And so I'm going to say this morning, for fathers and men that are here, every man is a hedge maker or a hedge breaker in his home. Every man here, you're either a hedge maker or a hedge breaker in your home. So what do we mean by this terminology? And I know it sounds fancy. I don't know how God gave me those thoughts, homemaker, homebreaker, hedge maker, hedge breaker, but he did. And I didn't scour the internet for these. The Lord gave them to me, these thoughts, and it just so happened that they rhyme, but they're truth, and we see here in the Word of God. And so what do we mean by this terminology? Well, in Ezekiel 22:30, we read these verses, but in verse 30, this is the words of the Lord God. The word of the Lord to Ezekiel, and this is what he said, "And I saw for a man among them." Among who? Well, among the prophets, the priests, the princes, the people. They were all corrupt. Think about that. Every one of them were simply corrupt. And he said, "I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge." Be a hedge maker. "And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But here's the sad part. God said, "But I found none." I found none. So again, what is this terminology? What is God speaking about to the prophet here? Well, in biblical times, cities were defended by walls. A hedge is nothing more than a wall or a fence. It's an enclosure. It's a protective barrier that goes around a city. Sometimes it could be a literal hedge, or it could be a fence, or it could be a wall that's made of brick and mortar. And so I want you to get in your mind that those days cities were protected by hedges, walls, fences. And if there was a breach in that hedge, a gap in that wall, that fence, the city could be compromised. A breach in the wall could mean the destruction of that city. And this whole chapter, he's talking about Jerusalem. I mean, if you go back to the very first part of this chapter, verse 2, he calls it bloody city. Verse 3, this city sheddeth blood. What city is he talking about? He's talking about Jerusalem. And this was the city that was the capital of Judah, Israel. This was their capital. And he's talking about that city. And he's using this terminology that there's breaches in the wall of that city. Now, he's not talking in a physical way. He's talking in a metaphorical way. He's using this as an illustration, because I want you to think about this. Hedge speaks of a protective boundary, a wall of protection. And this idea, "I sought for a man that should make up the hedge." Make up the hedge means to build up, close up, or repair the hedge, the fence, the wall. So when he says, "I look for a man to make up the hedge," he's saying he looked for a man that could fill in the gaps, to stand in the gap before me, because of all their iniquity and sin and abomination and idols in this city, their bloodshed and all these things, the wrath of God was coming on this city because God is holy and he had to execute judgment. And so the wrath was going to be pouring into the city against these people, and he was looking for just one man that could stand in that gap. Just one man to make up the hedge, to be a repair of the breach. To stand in the gap is to take one stand, to stand firm in the breach or the break of the wall, to close the gap, to prevent the enemy from coming within the city. I don't know if you noticed in the verses we read, verses 23 through 31, that I circled them in my Bible, the different people that God mentions here. Verse 25, he speaks of the conspiracy of her prophets, how they have devoured souls. And then verse 26, her priest violated my law, profaned my holy things. Her princes, verse 27, like wolves ravening to prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And then again in verse 28, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them. 29, the people. So he's listing all these different categories of people in it. He's saying from the top to the bottom, all the way out, it's corrupt. It's corrupted. And so God is using this imagery of a hedge that is for their protection. I want you to think about this just for a minute. The law of God that they were violating, the law of God that they were defiling and breaking, transgressing, was a hedge about them. God gave them that law for protection. But as they broke the law, it was creating this breach, this gap in their relationship with God. Do you see where, do you follow that thought? As the people begin to rebel against the Word of God, not realizing it was for their protection, this gap is created in the hedge. See, sin creates this gap between us and God. Sin creates a gap in our homes and families that opens up our home to the enemy. Sin does that. Sin breaks the wall open, creates a breach. And it says here the Lord sought for a man. He was looking for a man who would stand in the gap, who would stand for the truth, to intercede for the land, the people. But God said, I found none. He didn't find any that had the courage to stand. He didn't find any that had the character, the wisdom, the relationship with God to stand and give stability and security to the city of Jerusalem. And I want to just say to you, I know this was written in Ezekiel's time to the nation of Israel, or Judah at this time, but it applies to us today, because did you know God is still looking for a man? God is still looking for a man. Such a man as this, that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before God. A father who would build a hedge for his family. A hedge that would be with strength and stability and security for his family. We are in great need today of fathers who will be hedge builders for their family. That's what we need today. Fathers, yes, you, not mothers. Fathers, you are to be hedge builders. God has empowered you with such a power to be able to protect your family, to give stability and security to your family. That's not the wife's responsibility. She's a homemaker to build the home up. But that love, that teaching, that tenderness to the children and nurturing them, and that you fathers, we are given strength to be able to protect our families. Not just physically, but spiritually. You know, I want you to know that God sought a man, singular. He didn't say, I'm looking for a group of men. He said, I sought a man. Why point that out? Well, it only takes one man to make a difference. One man to make a difference in a country, in a city, a community, a church, a nation. Only one man to make a difference in a family. Just takes one. Will you be that man? Will you be that man that God's looking for? You know, in biblical history, we see so many examples of this, that just one man made a difference. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, David, Daniel, Samuel. I mean, we could go on. In New Testament, Peter, James, John, Paul, Silas, Timothy. I mean, we can see how just one man can make a huge difference. We need some real godly men today that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge, be hedge makers. Men with godly character, men that fear the Lord, men that have conviction, men that have courage, men that will be an example, men that will stand for Jesus, men that are men of prayer. But today, when we look around at our men, and I'm not talking about just here in this church, I'm talking about everywhere we look today, men in our nation, men in our country, men in our community, what we see is corrupt men, selfish men, sinful men, weak, cowardly men, corrupt men. We see kids growing up in fatherless homes. Kids that maybe a father's there, but he's not there to stand in the gap for his family. He's just there to bring home the bread. Fathers, that's not your only responsibility, just to make sure your family can eat and have a place to live. You are to be there to stand in the gap. You are there to be the spiritual leader of your home. You know, this is not to underestimate the importance of women or mothers. We've talked about that on Mother's Day. But women and children will suffer without godly men to lead them. That is the truth. They will suffer without godly men. To fulfill the Great Commission as a church, it requires godly fathers, godly men who stand in the gap, hedge makers. Because you can't have a church without strong families. We got to have godly men. We got to have hedge makers. God is searching for a man, even today, who would make up the hedge, who would stand in the gap before him for the land. What land? Well, we could look at all the different lands, the lands of this church, the land of your family and your home, the land of this community, the land of this nation. He needs men. He's looking just for a man to make a difference. You know, it doesn't seem right that our mighty and powerful God would have to be in need of something that he cannot find. Have you thought about that? Here's Almighty God, created all things. He's in need of something, and he cannot find it. He said, I sought for a man to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap before me, but I found none. You know, this is not to say that God cannot work apart from a man. He can. And he does often. But God has chosen to use men. He's chosen to use women too. Don't get me wrong. But the focus today, he has chosen to use a man to make up the hedge. He has chosen men to stand in the gap. Men, not women, not children. Men are to stand in the gap. Men are to make up the hedge. Fathers are to make up the hedge for their families. This has been God's plan throughout Scripture. You read it, it's consistent throughout Scripture. That's what the Scripture teaches. So God seeks for a man who will close the gap. And I'm going to give you three things. First one, God seeks for a man who will close the gap by repentance. By repentance. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. The prophet Ezekiel was sent to this nation of Israel to call them to repentance. Why do you think he is speaking these kind of words and language as you read about judgment throughout Ezekiel? It's to call them to repentance. And I've given a couple of verses that we can go back to. Ezekiel 14:6, for example. In Ezekiel 14:6, I want you to listen to this. He says, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel." God's telling Ezekiel this. "Say to the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Turn away your faces from all your abominations." So this is the message that God gave his prophet to say. He said, "I want you to go and tell these people and my people to repent. I want you to tell them to turn away from their idols, to turn away from all their abominations." In chapter 18, another verse 30, says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, said the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." He doesn't want them to be ruined. He doesn't want these gaps in their wall. He doesn't want a breach in the hedge. The only way you can close up those breaches is repentance. It's repentance. Because the breach or gap in the wall of the nation was their iniquities. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 30 and verse 13. Isaiah 30 and verse 13. We're going to see here that it was their iniquities that caused these breaches in the wall of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 30:13, "Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant." See, he's using that language of a wall, a breach in the wall. He says, "This iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall." In other words, there's going to be a section of the walls that's going to fall out. And then it says, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall and coming suddenly. And you know what this is? This is something that, like I say, we don't understand it here. But in this culture, walls were important. When we were in Ghana, walls were important. Very important. I mean, because we're the rich white Americans. We didn't consider ourselves rich, but in the eyes of the Africans and in comparison to the Africans, we had to come to rock. Because I kept telling them, "You don't realize I'm not rich. I don't have money. I'm just a missionary and I'm not rich." But I had to come to realize after living there, I was rich. In comparison to the people in the church that I was pastoring, oh, I was wealthy. I was a big man. And so I was a target for thieves. The wall was important to make sure they could not get into our place. We had 5 German shepherds standing in the gap, waiting. They were closing up the gap. There ain't nobody getting in because there was watchdogs. Yeah. So in Ezekiel's day, we find that it was their iniquity that caused these breaches in the wall. If it's their iniquity that caused the breach, how do we seal them up? By repentance. Listen, men, fathers, if we are got sins in our lives that we're not dealing with, you're not standing in the gap. You're not making up a hedge. You're just opening the door for the enemy into your children's lives, into your wife, all of your family. You're just opening the door. You're just inviting the devil in to your house, whether you realize it or not. You know, it talks about, going back to Ezekiel 22, verse 28, the prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. I want to just talk a minute about this, because these prophets, what does it mean to daub? He's talking about mason here. You know, you have a wall. A mason builds this wall with mortar. We call it cement. But here he says untempered mortar. They were building this wall with untempered mortar. What they were doing was they were taking mortar or cement that was weak, that was not strong, that was not mixed correctly, didn't have the right ingredients. And then they were covering it, whitewashing it with plaster so that you couldn't see it. The Hebrew kind of brings that out, and so it's kind of hard to see here, but even some translations use the word whitewash. They're whitewashing the walls. And what it means is that they, on the outside, everything looks strong. I got another story for you. My wife reminded me of this story, the last story I told you about. I used on Mother's Day about a foundation, that building collapsing on those people because they compromised on the cement and the sand ratio, and it was weak, and so it collapsed, killed a lot of people. Well, this one happened in our compound. So we went through a season where we were 3 weeks without water. No water. We're talking about running water to the house. And so we had this little tank. I don't remember how many gallons. I would say 100, 150 gallons. And when you have a household of seven, five kids, five dogs, 100 gallons don't last very long. Maybe a day. I mean, Tim knows water. Most of us, we don't even think about how many gallons of water we're just using every day. But when you don't have water, every drop is precious. And so our landlord decided that they were going to put a bigger tank in our compound so that we could get the water truck to fill it, so wouldn't have to be getting water every 2 days, because you have to pay a truck to come and fill those tanks. So they get this, I'm just guessing, it's probably between 3,000 and 5,000 gallons. It's huge. I mean, it could sit on this platform. It's probably from there to here wide. I mean, it's just in a circle. It's about this tall. And so they hired masons to come in and build a platform to put this on. And they built the blocks. They set the blocks right there, made them right in our compound. And we watched this whole process. And they hurried. You know, those blocks take time to cure. Well, they were in a hurry to get the job done. They were throwing it together. Blocks were not cured. They put this together. They put sand inside. And they put the mortar or the whitewash on the outside, the plaster. It looked beautiful. I mean, it looked beautiful. Then they get this big tank and put on it, and my wife is telling them it's not going to work. Can you imagine a woman telling a man that? She did. She out there and said, this is not going to hold that water tank. No, it's going to hurt. It's going to work. It's strong. She told me, she said, it's not going to work. She said, those blocks are not cured, and it's just not going to work. And even Michael was telling us, it's not going to work. But they went on with their tasks. The water truck comes into our compound, starts filling it up before it even got halfway. Crushed it. Untempered mortar. I'm trying to give that picture in your mind here. These prophets, they were telling lies. They were seeing vanity. They were saying the Lord had spoken and the Lord hadn't. They were saying that there's peace if you go to chapter 13. Let's go to chapter 13 in Ezekiel. Look in verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar, saying to them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall, and there shall be an overflowing shower. Ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So here we see this terminology of untempered mortar. What are we talking about here? That they're doing this without God. They're doing it themselves with lies. They're being hypocritical, if you would. And so let me just say that, fathers, if you're being a hypocrite in your house, you're daubing that gap with untempered mortar. If you're indifferent, apathetic to the things of God, about the spiritual lives of your children, but you're just concerned about bringing home money and making sure that they can eat and have a nice place to live, but you don't care about their spiritual life, listen, you're daubing that wall with untempered mortar. You know, if you're unselfish, I mean selfish, negligent, you are putting up an untempered mortar wall that's going to fall. And the enemy's going to come in like a flood. But you know, if we repent of these things and we get serious about this, we realize that God's looking for a man, and that man is us. He wants me to be that man in my family. He wants me to be that man in my church. He wants me to be that man in my community. When I realize that God's seeking for me, He wants me to be a hedge maker. He wants me to be one to stand in the gap before Him. We start getting serious and we repent of our lax, inattentive, indifferent attitudes toward God, our family, our church, our community. Then God can start filling us with power. He can start using us to fill in the gap. He can start using us to stand in that gap, to stop that flood of the enemy into it. Listen, our church, you know, we experience spiritual battles in our church. How are we going to stop the flood? Men making up the hedge, standing in the gap. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, if you go back and look at the context of Isaiah 59, it's talking about those that finally repented their hypocrisies. You go back to chapter 58, repent of the hypocrisies and start doing the fast God calls for. Start being the man God calls you to be. Start doing what is right. Then the Spirit of the Lord is going to come and lift up a standard against him, the enemy. Stop that flood from coming in. So what I'm saying is that we need men who will repent of their sins. Your sins may be different than my sins, but we need to get right with God. We need to stop up these breaches by repentance. Secondly, God's seeking a man who will close the gap by returning. I'm just going to read the Isaiah because of time. Isaiah 30:15 says this. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. He's saying in returning. Isaiah was just a little before Ezekiel, but pretty close to the same time period. And saying, God is speaking to the prophet, say, in returning and rest, that's going to be your salvation. That's going to be your deliverance. That's going to be your strength. What is he talking about? Returning to God. You see, Isaiah 30, they were going to Egypt. They were going to rely on Egypt, an alliance with Egypt, to protect them from the other enemies coming in. And God told them not to go rely on Egypt. Who are they supposed to rely on? The Holy One of Israel, God. But they were relying on Egypt. And that's how we often do. We want to rely on ourselves. We want to rely on our resources. We want to rely on other things in the world to remedy the destruction that the enemy is doing in our homes, our churches, and our community. Did you know our nation's not going to be fixed by getting the right president? Getting a different president ain't going to change a thing. I can tell you right now, it's going to be the same country. It's going to be the same corruption, the same wickedness. What we need is men to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Godly men. It's no different than the time of Israel. We've got to repent and return to the Lord. So I'm saying, fathers, you need to return to an intimate walk with the Lord. You need to return to leading your families spiritually. You need to return to teaching your children by precept and example. We have even Christian homes not doing this. Fathers not doing this. Fathers just letting the world have their way with their children. Letting their children have what their way. Not standing in the gap, not seeking the Lord, not leading the family, leading the charge. Fathers, if you're running from the Lord, now is the time to return. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Think about that. If we return to the Lord, guess what happens? He abundantly pardons us. He shows mercy on us. The gaps are sealed up. The Spirit of the Lord comes to set up a standard against the enemy that's trying to flood in those gaps. Number three, God seeks for a man who will close the gap by righteous prayer. By righteous prayer. And I want to just say this, standing in the gap before me, this is the primary meaning and figure of this imagery, is someone standing and interceding to the Lord, praying on behalf of the land, or the family, or the nation, or the people. The stand before me, I could give you so many illustrations if we have time, but there's Aaron in Numbers chapter 16, when that rebellion of Korah, and there was a plague that came out, and ran out there and stood between the dead and the living. He stopped the breach. God's wrath coming upon that nation. He interceded. Interceded. So this standing in the gap, it creates a visual picture of someone interceding to protect someone. Standing in the gap through prayer. You know, we focused this morning in our prayer meeting on I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And that's what this is here. Fathers, we must tell Jesus. Fathers, we must stand in that gap. We must cry out to God for our families. We must cry out to God for our children, our grandchildren. We have to be men of prayer. You're not making up the hedge standing in the gap if you're not a man of prayer. You have to intercede for your family. You have to pray for them. Labor in prayer. God looked for one man who would, through prayer, stand in the gap between a holy God and his disobedient, rebellious people here. James 5:16, most all of us are familiar with this verse. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to understand that why do I say righteous prayer? Did I just want to get a third R in there? Repent, return, righteous prayer? Maybe. But if you look at this James passage, he talks about a righteous man. What is righteous praying? It's praying from a heart that is right with God and right with man. He said, confess your faults. Who? One to another. Fathers, if you have done something wrong for your kids, confess it, get it right, ask forgiveness. If you've wronged your wife, get it right. Stay right with your family. Stay right with God. This is a daily thing. This is not just once in a while. This is a daily. We have to stay right. And righteous praying is praying from a right spirit, a right heart, a heart that's right with God, a heart that's right with men. Righteous praying is praying with the right motives. It's praying in faith. I want to just say that when there's sin in our lives, going back to point one, when there's sin in our lives, God will not hear us. That's why I said righteous praying. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, I want you to understand what that means. Regard means to look upon with desire, with interest. To regard iniquity in your heart means to esteem, approve, or value your iniquity. That's what it means. Because I want you to understand, we all have sin in us, right? But are you valuing, are you treasuring it, are you esteeming it in your heart? If you're esteeming your sin in your heart, the Lord will not hear. You need to turn from it. You need to repent. You need to ask God to help you to conquer that sin, because it's a really bad thing if you treasure your sin. You're just creating a gap for the enemy to come into your life, into your family. That's why I'm saying righteous praying. Get right with God. Get right with God. Return to God. Repent and turn to God and pray a righteous prayer for God's deliverance. I do want to close with an example of Moses, because this is my favorite. I could give many and talk about Aaron, but I want you to turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Now, the verses we're going to read are verses 19 through 23. And there's a lot of different history in this psalm, but this particular section that we're reading is found in Exodus 32. So if you ever want to study it out, it's the actual story is in Exodus 32. But it says here in verse 19, Psalm 106:19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Remember the golden calf. Moses was up in the mount getting the Ten Commandments. He comes down, they're worshiping this golden calf. They're naked. They're in this frenzied worship of this golden calf. And it said that thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Now, I want to stop there, because, you know, you read the story in Exodus 32. God told Moses, just step back. I'm going to destroy the whole nation. I'm going to make you a new one. Those were God's words. You step back, I'm going to wipe out this whole nation. But Moses stood in the gap. Moses made up the hedge by prayer, interceding, begging God. Talking to God. God, if you do this, what are the people in Egypt going to think? that you're not powerful enough to deliver us, to bring us in the land of promise. He started bringing these things up. God, you made a covenant with us. God, if you don't forgive them, just blot my name out. Now, that's some serious praying right there. Here's a man that was saying, you can blot my name out of the book of life, but just forgive them. This was a man that was crying out to God. This was a man standing in the gap for this nation that was about to be judged. They were about to be annihilated. Going back to verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Notice these words. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You recognize the terminology here? He stood before him. Ezekiel said, I sought for a man that would make up the hedge, to stand in the gap before me for the land. Here, Moses stood before him in the breach, in the gap, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. So this verse has always just amazed me. I have a message I preached just on this verse, and I don't know if I preached it here or not, but I preached it several times and as a missionary. But I mean, just to think that God was going to destroy them. Everything about the text, everything about Exodus 32, the story, God was going to destroy them. But the scripture says, had not Moses. Now, I want you to think about this. Satan wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. Had not Tim, had not Trapper, had not Justin, had not Johnny, had not Curtis. We could just start going through the room here. Had not George, had not Clifford, had not Kobe, had not Joe, Robert, had not Moses stood in the gap, they would have been destroyed. I just want you to feel the weight of this, fathers, that this invisible war, this Satan is serious about deceiving. He's serious about destroying. He's serious about killing. He's serious about that. And here we are, casual Christianity, coming to church. Well, that was a good message. And never even doing anything with it, going home, not talking to our kids about it, not praying, God, help me to put that in practice, help me to live that, help me to model that, help me to overcome these sins, help me to... I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, because I know human nature. I know how we are. And listen, this is serious. I mean, Satan's serious. He's out there to destroy us, but we have got to stand in the gap. We've got to make the hedge. That's the only way we can stop the flood of the enemy. That's the only way. Fathers, that's our job. It's time to rise up. It's time to stand. Because if we don't, listen, Satan's going to have a heyday. He's going to get into these gaps in the wall. He's going to get in and he's going to do his thing, which is to destroy. I want you to think about the difference one man can make. Had not Moses. One man saved a nation. One man. It didn't take an army. One man in God is a majority. Had not Moses. And I want to just point out, as we come to the close of this message, that Moses is a type of Christ here. He's interceding, a mediator between God and the people of God. He's a mediator. Had not Moses, the people had been destroyed. Did you know it was by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin? And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. One man, Adam. Just one man brought destruction into our world. But praise God, Romans 5 tells us, that was verse 12 I quoted, but when you go on and read the rest of the chapter, verses 13 through 15, it was by one man, Jesus Christ, that many are made righteous. Just one man. Had not Jesus, let's think about that thought before we close. Had not Jesus, where would you be? Where would I be? Had not Jesus. Had not Moses, the nation been destroyed, had not Jesus, the world would have been destroyed. Every single person would be in the lake of fire. There would not be one person in heaven had not Jesus. Now let's think about this, fathers. There's no other person that can stand in a gap for us when it comes with our relationship with God than Jesus. You need Jesus first. If you're going to be the man to make up the head, stand in the gap for your family, you need Jesus. You need Jesus in your heart, your life. You need relationship with Him. And that's not just the fathers here, that's every person here. You need Jesus. That's Jesus, the only one that can stop the flood of God's wrath on your life. Only Jesus. But fathers, as we think about the love of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, look at what Jesus did to stand in the gap for us. Look what Jesus did to stand in the breach. Do you think it was easy? To leave His glory in heaven, to come to this earth, be made in flesh, to be tempted of the devil, to be mocked and scorned by men, to be hated, persecuted. He came unto his own received Him not. To be taken in a sham trial and convicted and of something He never did, and to be crucified, beaten, killed. He did that for you and me. He stood in the gap. He stood in the gap. He made up the hedge for us and our relationship with God and our eternity with God. That should motivate us, men. That should cause us to want to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge for our family, for our church, for our community. So I close with this question. Are you a hedge maker or a hedge breaker? I mean, it's that. You're one or the other. You're either breaking up the hedges of your family by being a sinful, corrupt man that doesn't care about your walk with God, that doesn't care about getting serious about following God, that will not repent, will not return to God. You are a hedge breaker. You're breaking down the hedges. You're letting the enemy come in. Let's not be hedge breakers. Let's be a hedge maker. I want you to stand with me as we bow our heads in prayer. Father, I know this is a heavy message, but I know I need it. I know the men that are here need it. I know the boys that are going to be fathers one day need it. We need to understand our place and purpose in our families and our church. To be a hedge maker. To make up the hedge. To stand in the gap before You. To be men of prayer. Men that love You. Men that pursue You. Men that rise up. Stand for the truth. Men that plead for our families before the throne of God. That's the kind of men we need today. We don't need cowardly weak men. We've got plenty of them all over the world. all of our country, cowardly, weak men, corrupt men, selfish men, sinful men. They're bringing destruction in their own lives, their families. God, help us to be hedge makers, not hedge breakers. Lord, I know as a father that I'm insufficient without you. I can't be a hedge maker without you, without a relationship with you, without walking with you daily, without abiding in your word, abiding in Christ. I can't do it. I'll fail every time. God, I pray you help the men here to realize that the areas where we have failed in sin, we need to repent of. We need to turn from those things and trust our Savior to help us to forsake those things, to make up the hedge. God, help us in our hearts to return to you with our whole heart, to turn back to you, to come back to you, to give our all to you, to lay it all on the altar. Lord, help us to be men with righteous prayer, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It'll do much to save our families from the enemy, the blood of the enemy coming in. It'll save our church with righteous men standing together praying, making up the hedge, standing in the gap. So God, I'm asking as we give this invitation that you would help our men to rise up, help our men to make up the hedge, stand in the gap. May all others here pray for their fathers, pray for these men that are here, for our fathers. Just, Lord, that we'd pray together, you'd help us. Is anyone here that needs salvation? I pray that they would come to Jesus today, realizing that had not Jesus, we would have to endure your wrath forever and ever and ever. And when we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, we are freed from that. We are saved from the wrath to come. So Lord, we ask you to bless this invitation this time. I pray in your precious name. Amen.